الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم ولا الضالين. إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك من قبل أن يأتيهم عذاب أليم. قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين أن اعبدوا الله يغفر لكم من تعلمون. قال رب إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا. وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا. ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا. ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا. فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا. يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا. ألم تروا كيف خلق الله سبع سماوات طباقا. وجعل القمر فيهن نورا وجعل الشمس سراجا. والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا. والله جعل لكم الأرض بساطا لتسلكوا منها سبلا فجاجا. قال نوح رب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا. ومكروا مكرا كبارا. وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا. وقد أضلوا كثيرا ولا تزد الظالمين إلا ضلالا. مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا. وقال نوح رب لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا. إنك إن تذرهم يضلوا عبادك ولا يلدوا إلا فاجرا كفارا. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات ولا تزد الظالمين إلا تبارا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا السماء انفطرت وإذا الكواكب انتثرت وإذا البحار فجرت وإذا القبور بعثرت علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسما شاء ركب بهيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله ومن السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وأكرم نزلنا ووسع مدخلنا ونقنا من الذنوب والخطايا كما نقيت الثوب الأبيض من الدنس رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا بسم الله على ديننا وأنفسنا وأهلنا وأموالنا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد normally before the day of Eid we just do the adab of Eid and being the day of Qurbani so there'll be additional adab that normally we do so normally for the day of Eid we know that to wake up early is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then a person should make miswak and he should have a ghusl. He should wear his best clothes, not necessarily new clothes. So a person should wear his best clothes. Then he should apply itar and proceed for salah. Try and come as early as possible. In hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the night before Eid also is a very mubarak night. So sometimes we might ask ourselves that so many different nights, so many different occasions, why? We had the first 10 days of Zilhijjah, then we had before that, we had Ramadan, and before that we had Shaban. So how like in our investments as far as dunya is concerned, we like to have a diversified portfolio. That the person doesn't want to put all his eggs in one basket, he wants to spread his investments. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as far as akhirat is concerned, is giving us an opportunity to spread our investments. So many different occasions he's giving us. Now he makes the 9th of Dhul Hijjah even more special than the other days. And then will come the night of Eid. So like that a person should try and diversify and take a share in everyone. So on the day of Qiyamah, this person will see that I've got such a great amount, inshallah, such a great amount of investments in different ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had offered. I didn't just let it go by, I took some share in it. So then a person when going for Eidgah, he should use one route and returning he should use another route. We explain what's the benefit of this. One is that the shan and shokat of Islam can be seen. Another is istikhsar al-shahada, that there'll be more parts of the earth that will bear witness that this person walked upon me and traversed for some ibadat, some sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that part of the earth that this person used will bear witness for him. So if he uses one route and he uses another route, then there'll be more part or more portions of the earth that will bear witness for this person on the day of Qiyamah. And then this is also a form of dawat to the non-Muslims, that they can see the Muslims are moving in droves and they're moving early in the morning. So this is a type of dawat also for the non-Muslims. So then for the Eid al-Adha, we say that the person shouldn't have anything. The first thing that he should participate of is the meat of the qurbani. Ideally, if a person can participate of the liver, it gets done quickly. And in one riwayat it is mentioned, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also participated of the liver. So if we can do that, let that be the first thing that a person participates on. Then one sahaba inquired from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam that, ma hadhi al-adahi, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what is the significance of this udhiyah, of the slaughtering? So the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave a beautiful answer. Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. Didn't need to say much more. That this is the sunnat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, your father. Then they asked him, that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what is the reward for a person that is fasting? And he said, لِكُلِّ شَعَرَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ, for every hair on that animal, there is one reward for you. Then they asked him, as far as the suf is concerned, as far as wool is concerned, then he said, لِكُلِّ شَعَرَةٍ مِنَ السُّوفِ حَسَنَةٍ, every, O kama qala alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every fiber on that wool also, there is reward. So you can imagine how much of a reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering. The next thing is we shouldn't be cruel to the animal. We should look after that animal, take care of it. Unfortunately, it has become a merry-making thing today that people, they want to video that animal, they want to take it and they want to get the right posture and right position before that step is taken. All that is causing taklif to the animal, and besides causing taklif to the animal, that spirit of ibadat is lost. It's such a great thing, unfortunately, it's a great ibadah, but that is lost as far as the videoing is concerned. If somebody is videoing the tawaf, how upset we get. If we say this person is going in tawaf and is videoing, rather he concentrate on his tawaf. A person is performing salah and he's on his phone, we get so upset. So we should also discourage the use of the cell phones on that day. Tell the people that put your phones off and put it in your pocket. This is an ibadah, we don't need cell phones here at the occasion of Eid. This is spoiling our ibadah. The next thing, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُ الْقِتْلَ, that when you are slaughtering, then be very kind as far as your slaughtering is concerned. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُ الذَّبْحَ, and when you are doing the actual act of zabah, then be very good as far as doing it. Sometimes people put children there. The child wants to slaughter, so they give him the knife. He's not capable, he's not good in it. It's causing more harm and taklif to that animal. One occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam seen one sahabi, put the animal down, then he started sharpening his knife. Pull is down, then he started sharpening. Nabi is not cruel with the animal. The next thing, وَلْيَحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. A person should sharpen his knife well before. His knife should be very sharp so it doesn't cause any difficulty to the animal. وَلْيَرِحَ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A certain person should put the animal at ease. Keep that animal comfortable. Don't slaughter one animal in front of the other animal. Already that animal is in difficulty as far as being stressed out is concerned. It's seeing those other animals. So these are something we should be very careful of. Try and block it. If you don't have something if you don't have a separate area, then at least put one screen or cover in front of where the animals are stationed so that they can't see the other animals getting slaughtered. Then hasten in performing the qurbani. One person was just telling me this week that from the town he comes, that the habit is that what they do is the whole morning the family gets together and they have lunch and they enjoy the lunch, and then only in the late afternoon they make the qurbani. He said, we don't have any rush in our town. So here, this ideal, the mustahab thing is to do, is because this is ibadat, like any other ibadat, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. You should hasten in doing ibadat, don't delay the ibadat unnecessarily. For example, we got an opportunity to read Quran now, we say, no, we're delaying the reading of Quran till later. We got an opportunity of reading Nafil Salah, we say, we're delaying it. So Qurbani is none different than all these others. It's an ibadat, don't unnecessarily delay it. Although we got 3 days, doing it on the first day is more rewarding than doing it on the second day. Doing it on the second day is more rewarding than doing it on the third day. So therefore, as quick as possible, try and complete this ibadah. The next thing is, a person should try and slaughter with his own hands. Often people say they want to give the next person to slaughter or get some other pious person to slaughter. The asal is a person should try and slaughter with his own hands. If he can't and he's unable to slaughter, then there's no problem if he appoints somebody on his behalf to slaughter the animal. It is sunnah not to consume anything on the morning of Eid. Of Eid al-Adha. In other words, this is a da'wat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is extending His hospitality to us. Try and participate from the da'wat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let the first thing a person eat be the meat of that particular animal. My Ustad, he mentions quite often that often a person is making meat, biryani and everything, and he leaves that meat for later on, after that thing is sliced and hanged and everything, then he say, okay, now we'll eat from the qurbani. But that da'wah that Allah Pak is giving you is immediate, whereas you're eating the meat from few months ago, or meat that is slaughtered long ago, and you're leaving that one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving specially to you on this particular day. The next thing, it is impermissible to fast on these days. Sometimes a person is in the habit now, is in the mood of fasting, so he thinks that now the next day after Eid he can fast. So on the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th is haram, it's not permissible for a person to fast. Then when a person is choosing an animal, the healthier the animal, meaning the more valuable that animal is, the more the reward. So therefore we shouldn't hold back. The next thing is to be very careful of hijab. We know that this occasion when the families get together, but very often it happens that ladies and men are all mixing. If ladies and men have to mix in the masjid, then we won't like it. So similarly at that occasion, we should see that how ladies and men don't mix. Hijab is taken care of. Yes, the woman also would like to see that animal, etc. But in a decent way that they are separated from the men, they are not exactly where the men are. There is some type of hijab and screen there, then there is no problem. The next thing is that the lady may slaughter with her own hands if there is no fear that any ghair mahram, etc. will see her. So then she can slaughter with her own hands. This is also something that is encouraged if she could do it without that. If she can't, then at least she should witness it. And if it's still very mixed and difficult for her, then it's better for her not even to be there at the place of slaughter. Next is, when an animal is placed down, which direction should the animal be placed? Even this is even taught to us from our deen, how beautiful it is, that when slaughter is taking place, what is the adab of placing the animal? That animal should be placed on its left side. So if the head is the front of the animal, then on its left side, with its feet facing Qibla. The animal will be placed on its left side, its head will end up towards Qibla, the feet will be facing Qibla. In that direction, the animal should be slaughtered. And then only when the animal is cold, then one should start skinning. Very often it happens that people start skinning immediately in the rush of the moment. They shouldn't do that. Once the animal is cold and now it's lost all its life, then only should the skinning start. The next thing is, it is mustahab to eat from one's animal. People complain that the qurbani meat smells, so they don't want to eat from qurbani meat, rather they buy their mutton from the butcher shop. So here it is mustahab that a person eats from his qurbani animal. One third he keeps for his immediate family, and the next one third he gives to his friends and other family members, and the balance of one third he spends on the poor. This is one of the best tartibs to do the qurbani meat, not that a person dislikes it. And an easy way to ensure that the meat doesn't have any smell is that once that carcass is hanging, then a person should wash it and take off all the blood and all the stains. Often it happens, then immediately we put it into storage, so that blood remains of that animal and it causes also. Will be same like that animal we buy from the butcher shop. We just have to correct our mind and tell ourselves that this meat is more barakati than that meat we buy from the butcher shop, because this is the meat of qurbani. So therefore a person should keep some for his family also. And the last adab is that the best of actions on the day of Eid al-Adha is the spilling of blood. However, the hadith explains that there is one more action that is even more rewarding than the spilling of blood on that day, and that is the joining of family ties. So it is possible that we may have broken up some family ties with somebody, or we're not speaking to somebody. Then use that occasion even better than the spilling of blood on the day of Eid al-Adha, is to join up family ties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat. As I mentioned, that the night of Eid, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, that person who keeps alive the nights of the two Eids, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep his heart alive when the other hearts are dead. So we should try to take some portion of the night of Eid, wake up early, read some tahajjud salat, read some Quran, or do some type of ibadah so we can also benefit. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillah.